possibility that he might disclose the information he has in this respect voluntarily. But the honest answer to your question is yes. If the subpoena power could be used as an adjunct to our inquiry, even with former President Nixon, I would support that.
Senator Baker, appearing on ABC's Issues and Answers, says in addition to Mr. Nixon, he wants to check into the relationships between the CIA and earlier administrations. Vice President Rockefeller, who heads the President's Blue Ribbon Panel investigating the Central Intelligence Agency regarding allegations of domestic spying, says the probe will be pursued wherever it leads, whether it be to a Democratic or Republican president. And Rockefeller promised that the American people will learn the facts. More news after this.
Give a kid a book, he's in a whole new world. Risk gives books to kids who don't have any and makes reading fun. If America is caught thinking, reading is fundamental. Please help. Write RIF, Smithsonian Institution, Washington, D.C., 20560.
They got the whole world.
In Algiers, the oil petroleum exporting countries have concluded a three-day conference announcing agreement to meet with oil-consuming nations in Paris sometime this summer. Reports from the French capital indicate that a preliminary exporter-importer type meeting could be held in late March to establish an agenda for the full-scale conference. Egyptian President Sadat begins a state visit to France tomorrow, and NBC's William Rice in Cairo says the trip will see Sadat make a bid for a sizable amount of military hardware.
French-built Mirage fighter planes, missiles, and radar systems figure high on the shopping list that President Sadat will be carrying to Paris. These and other French weapons for the Egyptian army will be paid for by Saudi Arabia's King Faisal and the rulers of several other equally conservative oil-rich Arab states that have never been happy about Egypt's depending on Russia for arms. Sadat will also try to enlist French industry in joint development ventures to revive Egypt's economy. That will be largely funded by the oil-rich Arab states.
Israeli Defense Minister Peres says the takeover of a Lebanese border town by Palestinian guerrillas has created a potentially explosive situation. His comments came during a cabinet meeting in Jerusalem. The fighting goes on in South Vietnam, with the Saigon Command reporting 8 civilians killed and 9 wounded in a communist rocket attack on the provincial capital of Thein In. You're listening to NBC News.
Well, that's remarkable.
It is, isn't it?
You've never had an accident.
No, I haven't.
In your car?
No.
On the job, stub your finger,
never.
Maybe. Around the house, a little paper cut?
Zero accidents in my lifetime.
Wow, you must make sure every place is very safe.
No, I don't even think about safety.
Not at all?
No. Say, I've got to go now. Could you hold the door open for me?
On this packing crate?
Sanitized packing crate.
You live here?
All my life. Bye.
If you don't like thinking about safety, think about where you'd be without it.
Well, there's no more room in here.
A public service message from the National Safety Council.
The Senate Judiciary Committee begins its work week tomorrow, holding hearings on the nomination of Edward Levy to become Attorney General. Prompt approval is anticipated. Government investigators have begun probing yesterday's crash of a twin-engine plane on the campus of American University in Washington. All 5 people aboard the plane, bound from Columbus, Ohio to Washington, were killed when it slammed into a radio tower and plunged to the ground. Ironically, the crash came just 2 days before the start of hearings on the crash of a TWA jet outside of Washington last December 1st, which killed 92 people. That flight also originated in Columbus, Ohio. The Straits of Malacca is a major route for oil tankers serving Japan on the run between Indonesia, Malaysia, and Singapore. And a Japanese newspaper is reporting today that during the past 4 years, there have been 19 Japanese shipping accidents in the Straits, resulting in insurance firms shelling out more than $11 million in damages. The Hour's lead story, the Senate meets tomorrow to approve establishment of a select committee which will investigate intelligence-gathering organizations including the CIA and FBI. Bob Gibson, NBC News.
Thank you. is John Bartholomew Tucker, and this is Monitor. Monitor on NBC has been on the air for more than 1,000 weekends, and this is our last show. And happy to have you with us. And this is one of the songs we played for you in 1955, our first year on the air. Mr. Sandman by the Cordettes. Bum, bum, bum. It was a nice one.
Mr. Sandman. Make him the cutest that I've ever seen.
Bum, 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 bum.
Give him two lips like roses and clover.
Bum, bum, bum.
Then tell him that his lonesome nights are over.
Before I became a host here, there was a lot of comedy on Monitor, and it was provided by a number of real pros, like, hello there, Phyllis Diller.
How are you, John Tucker?
Fine, fine. I still remember the time you sewed, I guess I can say this, a button on the fly on my pants before I did that show in San Francisco.
Well, that goes back a while.
Yeah, I still remember it. Sorry you missed that one time. Say, where are you, Phyllis?
I'm in Indianapolis.
What the heck are you doing in Indianapolis?
Well, I'm not racing. I'm playing a club called Stage One.
Ah, yes. Say, do you remember early on in your career when you came to New York to play the Copa?
Oh, I do remember that well.
And then you came over to see us here at Monitor, and you were in kind of a low mood. And then you were so funny, everybody broke up and asked you to stick on and do some stuff on Monitor.
Yes, I've always loved Monitor. It's one of my favorite shows.
Wasn't there one, I'm trying to think of some that come to mind about, you did one about your next door neighbor in California was an insanely clean housewife?
Oh, Mrs. Clean.
Yes.
Oh, she's such a mess. I mean, you know, she does her work in white gloves. She gets up at 6 a.m. every morning, you know, one of those. She's compulsive, sweeps her roof, and then she vacuums the lawn, waxes the driveway, and she won't even allow her husband to take a drink. One night he got really loaded and came home and passed out on the coffee table, and she got up the next morning and waxed him to death.
You did a lot of bits about your youngsters, and they sort of grew up with Monitor, didn't they?
They sort of did. One terrible thing happened. One of them swallowed a quarter, and we needed the money. And finally, he passed two dimes and a nickel.
you're the same woman I knew who sewed up my trousers.
Yes, always willing to help.
Yeah. Life has really been beautiful for you lately, hasn't it?
Yes, it has. Those lows are over. They're all highs now.
Say, who or what makes you laugh? There's a tough question.
All the other comics. I laugh at them all. I adore them. And funny things that happen in life make me laugh. You know, you shut the door and you got your belt caught in it. And you walk a little ways and it jerks you. You know, all those funny, dumb things that happen every day.
Yeah, well, Good talking to you.
Well, it's great talking to you, John, and keep up the good work and stay happy.
I will. That keeps us all happy. Have a good time out there in Indianapolis, and thanks for calling in for Monitor.
Okay, goodbye.
Goodbye, Phyllis. Phyllis Diller, here on Monitor.
I was by myself, drinking chilled, lonely wine. Then he walked in with some woman whose place was once mine. And she wore his ring on her finger, and the man began a song I'd heard before. I saw a man and he danced with his wife. How I wish he was dancing with me, 'cause I remember before when we danced on this floor, his eyes were only on me. Where did I go wrong? They were playing our song while I was crying all night long. I kept watching as they danced so nearby.
One of my favorites in 1974. Just some of the people who will join us for Monitor's farewell party. This is the last Monitor today. Mr. Barry Nelson, Frank Blair, John Chancellor, Dave Garraway, all here on the Monitor Beacon. John Bartholomew Tucker here. Big Wilson and I carrying you through this last day of Monitor. This is our last day. Let's go back, though, without all these tears or anything. Go back to 1956 with Elvis and blue suede shoes, remember?
Well, it's one for the money, two for the show. But we get ready now, go, cat, go. But don't you step on my blue suede shoe. Well, you can do anything but step over my blue suede shoe. Well, you can knock me down, step in my face, slander my name all over the place. Well, do anything that you want to do. But now, honey, lay off them shoes. And don't you step on my blue suede shoe. Over my blue suede shoes. Let's go, cat. Car, drink my liquor from an old fruit jar. But do anything that you want to do. But honey, lay off of my shoes. And don't you step on my blue suede shoes. Well, you can do anything but stay over my blue suede shoes. Rock it! The show. Really get ready now. Go, go, go. But don't you step on my blue suede shoe. Well, you can do anything but stay over my blue suede shoe. Well, it's blue, blue, blue suede shoes. Blue, blue, blue suede shoes. Yeah! Blue, blue, blue suede shoes, baby. Blue, blue, blue suede shoes. Well, you can do anything but stay home for my blue suede shoes.
Our former Monitor host came to us from the Broadway stage in Hollywood films, a rather sophisticated fellow who proved he could charm a radio audience as well. His name? Barry Nelson. This evening, Barry will open in a new play on Broadway, and it was good of him to join us this close to showtime. Hello, Barry.
John, good to talk to you. It's about that hour now, and, another opening, another show.
Well, it's kind of coincidental that your show is opening as ours is closing.
I'm afraid that's a rather cruel irony.
Yeah?
I've always enjoyed Monitor, and as you know, I was on it for several years as a host, and I still think there's a place for it. I'm sorry to see it go.
Can we talk about your play a bit? It's, I'm thinking of things like Mary, Mary, which I applauded. I guess you didn't notice me applauding that night.
Were you the one?
I was. Cactus Flower and all that. Now doing an Edward Albee play.
I just think you have to extend your range as much as you can, and it's a much more interesting kind of career.
Is it, and I say this really with a kind of smile, is it possible at all to describe Seascape that you're going to open with tonight?
No, it isn't.
That's what I figured.
It's about two people, Deborah Carr and I, who are on a beach, and after we talk for about a half hour, lo and behold, off the dunes come two rather prehistoric-looking huge sea lizards who happen to learn to speak English for reasons which I won't go into here.
You know, Barry, until this moment, I didn't know that the NBC vice presidents were into acting.
They're all over the dunes, I tell you, these days.
Getting back to Monitor, you're kidding about it, but it was a change for you. I mean, playing to an unseen audience, you didn't have to learn lines. Was it easy for you, or was it kind of hard?
I found a lot of fun at Monitor. Mostly, I think, interviewing people. It gave me a chance to meet a lot of people I wouldn't ordinarily have met, and to talk with them and have those 5-10 minute interviews, and it broke up. I was playing Cactus Flower at the time. I did a couple of years of Cactus Flower.
That's right.
It took up my Sundays, but it kept me out of trouble.
Well, all right. So your recent work now, Airport, several films and all that, you've been touring a lot too, haven't you?
Yes, I've been doing, there isn't so much Broadway anymore. There was a time when one could just stay on Broadway indefinitely, and that just isn't so. Most of what's on now are British imports, for instance. And I guess I've been as active as any Broadway player in the last few years, but there's also another theater outside. Some of it's what we call Winter Theater down in Florida at Palm Beach and Fort Lauderdale and so forth, which is a marvelous circuit, and Celeste Holm and I did that for several months, and then I was out with a dinner theater circuit, and dinner theater is mushrooming. It's going to be one of the biggest employers of actors in the future.
You know, as I hear you talk, I made an observation. You have a nice voice. You ought to work on radio sometime.
I'll be back.
Say thanks, Barry, for talking with us, and good luck tonight on opening night of Seascape.
Well, keep your fingers crossed. It's an exciting project, and good luck to you, John.
Well, thank you, Barry. Barry Nelson, opening tonight, Seascape.
We were very happy. Well, at least I thought we were. Can somebody tell me what got into her? A house, a home, a family, and a man that loves her so. Who would believe she'd leave us to join the burlesque show? Anybody seen my sweet gypsy rose? Here's a picture when she was my sweet Mary Jo. Now she's got rings on her fingers and bells on her toes. Say, has anybody seen my sweet gypsy rose? Oh, I got when my Jo's dancing here in New Orleans in this Wolfville honky tonk they call the land of dreams. Oh, if she comes, Mr. Redmond, in her birthday clothes. Say, has anybody seen my sweet gypsy rose? Oh, baby, baby, won't you come home? Say, we all miss you. And every night we kiss your picture. Day you wake up and you find you're all alone. So let's say goodbye to Gypsy Carol Mary Jo. Say, has anybody seen my sweet Gypsy Rose?
Hey, I forgot to mention something about Phyllis Diller when I talked with her. A week or so ago, Phyllis had her name enshrined in a star in the Walk of Fame, you know, on Hollywood Boulevard. Her star embedded in the sidewalk there falls right between those of Ethel Barrymore and Wallace Berry. Now, Phyllis really deserves that star. When she went into showbiz, she was 37 years old and the mother of five children. That took a lot of courage. She's a heck of a woman. I'm glad to call her a friend. Hey, here's a big hit from 1957 by four fellows known as the Diamonds. Little Darling.
Little Darling,
Yeah, 1957. Little Darling, Diamonds. That group, the Diamonds, followed a group called Crystal, believe it or not. I'm not making that up. Hey, I know this is Henry Mancini's favorite song among the many he's written. He told me so, right here on an interview on Monitor. So I'm two for the road, motion picture, Henry Mancini's theme song. Bartholomew Tucker, Big Wilson, and I bring you this last day of Monitor, this last Sunday. This is Monitor on NBC.
NBC Update. This is Bob Gibson with an update report on the news. The Senate goes back to work tomorrow and is expected to approve the establishment of a select committee to investigate intelligence-gathering organizations, including the CIA and FBI. Vice President Rockefeller, who heads the special commission named by the president to probe charges of illegal domestic spying by the CIA, has assured reporters that the panel will direct its attention in whichever direction the facts lead us. Federal investigators have begun the task of trying to learn what caused a twin-engine plane to crash on the campus of American University in Washington yesterday. The accident occurred just 2 days before the start of hearings into the TWA disaster near Dulles Airport last December, which killed 92 people. The world's major oil exporting countries have concluded a 3-day meeting in Algiers, announcing agreement to hold a summer conference with oil-consuming nations in Paris. Egyptian President Sadat begins a state visit to France tomorrow with plans to bolster his nation's military might. Word is that during his 3 days of talks with French President Giscard d'Estaing, Sadat will indicate his interest to purchase, among other things, Mirage jet fighters, missiles, and radar systems. President Ford joined Chief Justice Warren Burger in attending the annual Roman Catholic Red Mass at St. Matthew's Cathedral in Washington today. Purpose of the Mass, to invoke divine guidance in the administration of justice. The Senate Judiciary Committee tomorrow opens hearings on the nomination of Edward Levy to become Attorney General. Speedy approval is anticipated. This is Bob Gibson, NBC, Update.
this is Monitor. John Bartholomew Tucker here. Big Wilson and I taking you through this last day of Monitor. And we're not doing it with tears in our eyes or anything like that. The whole group's here. We're having a kind of a party, I guess you'd call it. And a funny thing just happened. We have parties in another studio. We got all the stuff together. Some guy walked in. Nobody's ever seen him before. And he says, "Don't you have any ginger ale?" He's upset at our party. Here are the Everly Brothers.
Dream, 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 dream. Dream, dream, dream when I want you. In my arms when I want you. And all your charms whenever I want you. All I have to do.
To appear on Monitor, June 12, 1955, 8 a.m. in the morning. It was a Saturday.
Yes, it was.
The first communicator, you were called. And yesterday, we both had kind of tears in our eyes, but today is the last day now, Sunday.
Well, that makes me very sad indeed, because I think, as I said yesterday when we were chatting, Monitor was almost a way of life. It was a new concept in communications, not just in radio broadcasting, but Pat Weaver, great man in our industry, who originally had the concept for Monitor, dreamed of it as a way for the whole United States to communicate, like his Wide, Wide World on television. It was the same kind of idea. Of course, Pat was responsible for Today. That was his idea, and it's still alive and well and living in New York and all over the world now that we have a satellite. But
Tonight?
Tonight was one of his dreams, too. So Monitor has been a part of my life, and when I got into the studio and started working on Monitor and communicating, which was our key word, things came alive again.
Were there skeptics in those early days? I know Dave Garraway said to me the other day, he said he at the time he thought it would never last.
Well, they said that about many things. I remember when the Today program first started, John Crosby, who was then a TV radio columnist, said it can't possibly last more than 13 weeks. I caught him on that the other day when I met him, and I said, "You want to take that back?" Mm-hmm. He said, "Well, what I meant was the way it was going when it started, it couldn't last 13 weeks." Now, maybe that's the feeling some people had about Monitor in the beginning, but it has existed since 1955.
Yeah.
That's a good long stint. I've got children that old.
How many do you have that old?
Well, I have only one that age. We never had twins, so they came one at a time. We did it the hard way. It's like living next to a subway, you know. You keep waking up all night long.
Well, thanks for giving us one laugh on what is not a very happy day here at Monitor.
We had a lot of laughs on Monitor. Things would go wrong occasionally, and it gave us an opportunity to get back to the good old days of radio when you could ad-lib and use your own brain for a change. Things have really changed in our industry to a point where some of us old-timers are happy to want to bow out, and maybe Monitor feels the same way. It was too good to last.
Well, thank you for dropping by.
Pleasure.
And Frank, you mentioned Pat Weaver, the man who originated the concept for Monitor. Later in the program, he'll be our guest. Right now, the air that I breathe, the Hollies. Music. That one you heard on Monitor in 74. Our music today goes all the way back to 1955, the year we began broadcasting, and the year this became a familiar phrase. You are on the Monitor Beat. Joe Garagiola joins our farewell party in a couple of minutes. Right now, music from the late 50s, Frankie Avalon's Venus. Another member of the Monitor family here to say goodbye, Joe Garagiola.
John, this is somewhere around the 2,500th time that I have been on Monitor, not counting the times that I sat in as a host for the show. But this is a tough one for me, for it marks my final appearance on Monitor. This is the last day after nearly 20 years for one of the real great ones in the history of American radio, Monitor. The cliche in this business is to leave them laughing, which is a great philosophy. But I honestly don't feel that way right now. I'm going to miss Monitor, both as a broadcaster and as a listener. And there's another side to my feelings on this day, too. Along with millions of you people, I think about Monitor as the voices you heard. But I also recognize Monitor as the voices you never heard. The people who made it all possible. The executives, the writers, directors, producers, engineers, assistants, and everyone else whose contributions were so important to those of us whose voices you did hear. I shared a lot of great moments with those people. They fixed up my fluffs, and there were plenty of them. They shared the laughs that people who work together get to share. And they also amazed me when they showed me how professionals act in moments of stress. Tell you, they made me very proud to be a member of their team. And now comes the time for me to say to them and to you, so long. And it's the last time that I'll do it here on Monitor. I'm copping out by mentioning no names, but that isn't as bad a feeling as I'd get if I overlooked somebody. And besides, over a dozen years, you build up a lot of people to thank. To all of them, thank you. You made it fun. And also, you have given me, through your efforts, a feeling of pride every time I got to say, as I do now for the last time, this is Joe Garagiola for Monitor Sports.
Well, thanks, Joe. Thank you very much. Hey, I think we better have some music, huh? Kind of cheer things up a little bit. Here's James Taylor, Carly Simon.
Time.
James Taylor, Carly Simon, Mockingbird, everybody out, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, wake up. We got a word for you here.
With State Farm, we believe that if we can't offer a good product, we won't offer it. Our life insurance is among the best.
Agent Jerry Black of Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, for State Farm Life.
In most cases, it's very normal for one of my clients to come to me to buy life insurance because I already insure his automobile. I insure his home. He turns to me because he trusts me. He knows that I'm available to help him when he needs it. He has the understanding that State Farm has very good products and other insurance lines. They should also have them in life insurance, and they do. Fortunately, with State Farm, I have the products available to satisfy the life insurance needs that he has. With State Farm, I can do this.
In 1960, John F. Kennedy was elected president. One of the top Broadway shows was Camelot, and a curious new dance craze evolved called The Twist. The song of the same name was, of course, by Mr. Chubby Checker.
Come on, baby!
The Twist, Chubby Checker. It may or may not interest you to know that I never did The Twist. Doesn't interest you, huh? For some reason, I like to touch dance. I also like to listen to Monitor in those days, and sometimes I heard some very strange sounds like this. What were they? Porpoises, of course, not somebody looking for a vice presidency. Having a conversation, maybe a conversation like one saying to the other, you're like a fish out of water ever since you got on the radio on Monitor. Huh? All right. This is Monitor, by the way, our last program on a Sunday. I'm John Bartholomew Tucker, NBC.